the best parts of coming up here every week is taking the mask off. Sorry that all of you can't as well. I know they are irritating to wear all the time, and hopefully we will look back on 2020 as a blip in our lives rather than something that continued on for very long. But I want to talk this morning a little bit about the Sabbath and the lesson to draw from it. I think there's multiple you could, but I want to talk about one specific one. But as kind of a way to introduce it, think about vacations and the idea. I don't know if a lot of you are like us. Typically, when we go on vacation, we feel like we need a vacation when we come back, just from how much work it was to go on vacation. Camping is often like that. A lot of prep goes into going camping, and you get camping, and you come back, and you got a lot of cleanup to do. And all of that effort, you know, we just keep doing that. I think I can count probably on one hand in our, you know, 30 years of being married, how many times we've taken a vacation that we just laid around and didn't do anything. I mean, did that. We've had a few of them, but we've had very that have not been the most common for us. We go and do stuff, and we're always busy and active, and then you come back, I need to rest. Getting back to regular life is a lot easier. But why do we keep doing it? Because we find the vacations worth it, right? Because in reality, it's like extra work. We put in all this extra work to go, then we're really busy there, and then we have all this extra work when we get back. You know, I mean, and so why do you do it? Because it's worth it. And very often, I think we can think about the Sabbath. And I don't know if a lot of us think about the Sabbath much, or if we even understand it really very well. But I want to go back to this thing that Jesus said. Hopefully it will work. So maybe somebody there in the back can figure out why it's not working. Yeah, we're on my screen, huh? We got three guys back there now. I'm sure it'll work sometime. Okay. Well, Mark chapter 2 and verse 27, Jesus himself said, and he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. God didn't go, wow, I've got this great idea. Let me come up with the Sabbath, and then I should figure out some people who can... I should create some people that they could keep it. And that's not what the Sabbath is. It isn't like God came up with, I've got these great rules. I got to make some people that just will do them. No, he said, here's some people, and I want to give them something good for them. And he gave them the Sabbath. And so when we think about the Sabbath, very often, and Jesus made this point because many of the Jews and many of their traditions in keeping the laws of the Sabbath, they had really missed the bigger point, that it's of its purpose. And so one of the things that happened a lot was they were getting mad at him for healing people on the Sabbath. As if, well, you should have done that on the other 6 days. We don't heal people on the Sabbath. And he made the point to them, well, don't. If you had an animal fall into a pit, you wouldn't help that animal out of the pit on the Sabbath? And of course they would, because you would help people. Because the Sabbath had principles and rules about normal situations, about normal work. It didn't have, it wasn't talking about, you know, exceptions very often. And people, they missed that. They didn't understand. They had kind of got so into the rules that they forgot the purpose of the rules. And not uncommon. But last week I talked a little bit about not losing focus of why we do what we do. And this is like one of those things that helps us remember. And so when we think about the Sabbath, the do's and don'ts of the Sabbath, and you might remember some of them. The don'ts, I think, are the ones we typically know. Don't work. Now, I've added a couple things. Don't work. That's normal work. It's also regardless of season. So if it's in the middle of harvest and they're all just booming with ready to be reaped, and you're like, nope, Sabbath comes, you're still not going to work. Doesn't matter how much work's out there. Doesn't matter that you could use 7 days to try to pull in all the harvest instead of six. Doesn't matter. He said, you're going to take it off regardless of time. So I'm not going to go through all those passages in Exodus, by the way. But we understand in Exodus 20 and verse 10, one of the Ten Commandments was given the Sabbath. And it was actually right after the first few where God talked about, I am your God. You shall have no other gods before me. You won't take my name in vain. And he says, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or your sojourner, which is within your gates. So it's you, your family, your workers, your animals, foreigners, nobody. Because you could really see how people would, it's like, well, I'll just put all my, slaves to work. No. Because a lot of people would be inclined to like, well, I don't want to shut down 1 day a week. Think about all the businesses that wouldn't want to shut down 1 day a week because how much revenue they would be losing. Right? Most businesses in the world today operate 7 days a week. Now, individuals within them don't, but most businesses do, or a lot of them anyway. Why? Why do they not shut down at least 1 day a week? Lost revenue. And he's trying to help them understand that you need not only a time to rest, we're going to see the purpose, but they need everybody. None of your workers are going to work on those days. Now, chapter 34 is where he tells them, regardless of season. Doesn't matter what season. Because that would be real easy in the middle of winter, right? we're all shut in anyway. Or middle of a pandemic. But man, the harvest is there and the work's there. It's like, sometimes you just want to keep working while the work's there, right? People who have real seasonal type work, construction, contractors, right? They have the ups, and sometimes they're going crazy and you can't hardly get a hold of them and they don't call you back very much. And then they got the downs when they're calling you all the time. There was a project I talked to you about like 6 months ago. Are you interested? No. And so why does that happen? Because the work is very seasonal. Construction has booms and it has downtimes. And he's like, but you want to take this off, take these times off, even when it's booming. Now, in Exodus 16, talking all the way back to that manna that Dave reminded us of, Jesus is the real manna, but the manna that they was given in the wilderness, he told them, you're not going to go out and gather that on the Sabbath. You're going to gather twice as much the day before. So you're going to do twice as much work in preparation of the day rather than just kind of keep doing, you're still going to have to prepare food for that day, aren't you? You're just not going to do it that day. But they're not going to prepare any food. They also couldn't kindle a fire. By the way, I looked into this quite a bit. I can't really figure this out. I don't know that that means they can't have a fire going, but they can't build one, can't make one. I don't know if all of you are aware of the exceptions to all these rules, by the way. There are exceptions to all four of these things. Or three of them. But the priest still worked. They still circumcised. Right? All the work at the temple still going. You couldn't let the fire go out. Every single day of the year. The priests are all working. Even on the synagogue later. So in the synagogues, when they were all complaining about him working, do you know that there was somebody working that day? Somebody was teaching. There were a bunch of exceptions. Now, some of the old law talks about this because in some of the passages talking about the Sabbath, it refers to the idea of your normal work or your common work, your profane work, not holy work. And so you can think about what else might be, would they have cleaned their house on the Sabbath? Probably not, right? Would they have done the laundry on the Sabbath? No. It reminds me, a few years back, I was doing some lessons in the law, and one of the members asked, because I was talking about they work 6 days a week and they didn't work one day a week, and she said, should we be working 6 days a week instead of five? And I said, my suspicion is you work 7 days a week. You're talking about your job that gives you a paycheck. You have other work. You cook, right? Clean. You clean clothes. You do this. You clean your house. Those are all work. We forget that because we often think in terms of work, in terms of what something that makes income versus things that just have to be done. And the reality is, I've been thinking about this a lot recently, and I have some lessons kind of planned about it. Why are we feel so much busier even though we don't necessarily work a lot more hours in jobs than our parents did? And I have some thoughts and some data on that, but because I think when you take all the work that has to be done around the house, all the work that has to be done to make income, and you take, a married couple, if you divide all those up into two people, okay, and, there's so many hours of work to do all that a week. But if both of them are doing 40 hours on a job and then having to do all that at home, there's more hours having to actually work. Or you're having to hire other people to do a lot of that work. So I think we really are often more busy because it's more common for both people in households to have jobs outside the house for paychecks, and then both have to come and work at the house too, as opposed to it being split as it typically was generations past. And so we are probably busier, all of us, than we typically have been in the past, at least average. A lot of you might not face that situation, but many of you understand it. We feel busier because in reality, there are less hours to do all the things that need to get done. And so when you think about that, all those things, one whole day, you can't do anything. It sounds good until you begin to realize how much work is it I have to do to prepare for that. That just means for a lot of that, I've got to do it the day before or the day after. So it isn't like the work went away, right? It isn't like anything stopped needing to be done. I just stopped doing it for a period of time. And so the things that he wanted them to do about the Sabbath was rest and refresh. That was the purpose of not working. To find rest and refreshing. And then it was to be holy. This was a special day for the Lord. And it was to remember the Lord who sanctifies them. And so the Lord gave them these commandments. Now, when we think about Christians, Christians were given freedom from these rules, but we were given the same purpose. I want to look at Romans 14. Starting there in verse 5, he's talking about certain freedoms and not judging one another in certain different judgments we make. But he says, one person esteems one day as better than another. Well, what did the law tell them? One day was holy. And six of them were common. Was one day better? In the law, yeah. In the Jewish perspective, one day was better than the other days. In fact, it wasn't just one day a week, the best day of the year. I don't know if you know that, or the most holy, or the most special day of the whole year. I don't know what you think it might be. For Jews, they thought of it as the Day of Atonement, which also, by the way, was a Sabbath. See, something I didn't really point out to you a moment ago. We think about the Sabbaths, how many? There would have been 48 or 52 a year for them, because they had 12 four-week months, sometimes 13 months. But it wasn't just 52 or 48 Sabbaths a year. They had three feasts, plus the Day of Atonement, plus some other feasts. And in those feasts were often other Sabbaths. There were like the first day of the feast or the last day of the feast, along with the seventh day of the week. And so they had whole weeks. They had special days. They had special holidays over and above their regular Sabbath. And so this was something that they did on a real regular basis all year around. And so he comes in here and he's talking and writing to the church in the book of Romans. And he says, one person esteems one day is better than another. That's probably people who grew up Jewish, who grew up with those traditions, grew up with those habits, and they probably kept doing them. We know most of the Jewish Christians kept practicing those things. And there wasn't anything wrong with that. But he says, while another seems all days alike. And so for Gentiles that came in who didn't have any of those traditions, who had very different kind of traditions for their family. In fact, Romans thought the Jews were a bunch of lazy people because the Romans worked 7 days a week. That was how they operated. And so in the Gentile world, it might be very common. It's like every single day. And they wouldn't have wanted to have any special days to their foreign gods, right? Those idols that they would take special. They didn't want to honor those anymore. So they might treat every single day as, you know, exactly the same. And so that, and he's telling them that's okay. He says, each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. Do what you think is right, he said, about these, about honoring certain days or not. He says, the one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. So if you want to take a special day to not do anything and just do it for the Lord, that's fine. Go ahead and do that. And he says, the one who eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. So if you're going to eat a feast, do it at being thankful to God. If you're going to have a fast, the day of fast, do it in honor of God. And then he says, for none of us lives to himself and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. And so, he didn't say it explicitly, but the one who doesn't observe a special day to the Lord, what does he do with all days being alike? They're all the Lord's. And so, he's like, understand that even though the details of the Sabbath law of the Old Testament are not put upon us, what God has told us is the principles behind the Sabbath apply to us. We need to remember the Lord all the time. And if we take special days to do that, that's great. If we don't take special days to do that, but we do that all the time, that's great. But I want to kind of finish up with this, what I think is the lesson from the Sabbath. And starting in Hebrews 4, verse 8, and really this whole section from, let me get to the right place. And so it really starts in the beginning of chapter 4, talking about this promise of entering his rest. And if Joshua had given them rest, they shall not enter my rest and all of that. In verse 8, though, if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. Now, there's a play a little bit on words, and this actually happens even in the Old Testament. The word Sabbath actually is one letter different than the word rest, which also means seven. And so the Sabbath came from the idea of the seventh and became a day of rest. All those things are linked together. Concepts are all connected. But the Sabbath became more than the seventh day. It actually became more than just a day of rest. And so the Sabbath became the root of it, though, is the seventh day. And so the Sabbath became something bigger than just the seventh day. And so it became that rest that he's talking about. But he's saying that the rest that Joshua had given, or the rest that Moses even had spoken of, this wasn't the real rest God's talking about. That the Sabbath is foreshadowing something more. And that really, as he's going to talk about here in this passage, heaven. That is actually being with God, where we will rest with him. But he says, for Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Now, by the way, Sabbath rest is actually not there in English, just Sabbath. There's just one word there, Sabbath, not Sabbath rest. And now the other words for rest are a little different word. So he's saying this idea of rest is coming, but there remains a Sabbath for the people of God. What's he talking about? Not talking about the seventh day of the week. He's talking about ultimately being with him. He says, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest. Now, that on its face, we're going to work really hard so we can rest. Right? It almost seems contrary. It's like, why am I doing all this extra work just so that I can rest later? But that is exactly what the Sabbath was. There was extra work to prepare for it. There's all these things you had to do in order to rest. And that was foreshadowed ultimately what we're doing in life, in working, so that we can be with God and rest from our work. But he says, we need to strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, of discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart, and no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So he says, you need to put some effort out to enter that rest. And so when he's talking about God's rest, he's not talking about us just setting aside a day. So some things that I take from this, the lesson, it takes extra work to set aside time for family and the Lord, which the Sabbath did. To remember the Lord and our purpose, and to find peace and times of refreshing. It takes work to often get rid of the tension, the stress, the anxieties that we might feel from life. And it takes some effort to do all of these things. And it takes extra effort. But this striving is worth it for the benefit. That's the lesson of the Sabbath. He's told them to do it over and over and over again. Never stop. Never end. All of their life for all those Jewish people. He says, the lesson of the rest is worth it. No matter what you do and how hard you work in order to enter that rest, it will always be worth it. That's, by the way, Paul's point in Romans chapter 8. He says, the suffering of this world is not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to come. And so, lastly, ultimately, having our Sabbath with God. That is the purpose we strive. That's the reason we do and make these efforts. And why we should make the effort to make sure that we are taking time and purposefully making time for family, for God, to remember both and to remember why we are his people and to find that peace and that calm that God has given us through his Son. We're going to end there. Appreciate all of your time this morning and your attention today. Glad you could all be here. And if you need anything, we're going to sing a song just to close out this morning's assembly. And then we'll have some announcements afterward. But if you need anything, we're not really going to have everybody coming forward and everything. Not that we always had to rush for that anyway. But reach out. Call, email, let us know if you could use some help. Or if you just, sometimes you just got to call people. Find out how other people are doing. And you talk with them. Find a little peace, compassion, connection with others. And if you need that, reach out. Let people know. And there's lots of people who are more than willing to go out of their way to help and to serve whoever might need it. And so we're going to sing this song, Just As I Am, 924. Let's go ahead and stand as we sing.